learn more about Thai. We're continuing our study of ancient Hayam. We're finishing off our discussion of the Eshet Hayil, that she understands the power of influence and therefore protects her family, protects herself from the negative influence that is all around us. Because she understands that influence is a very powerful force in this world. Good influence is very powerful. Putting your children around the right people makes the goodness a part of them, and putting your children and family around the wrong people makes those people also a part of them. This is what we've been learning. It says in Masechet Sanhedrin that they were in Yerushalayim people, they called them Nekiye Hadat. Nekiye Hadat means they had pure minds. Or we'll call it clarity. Nice, to live with clarity is a very big beracha. Most people live in darkness. They live a life of doubt. They doubt the past. They doubt the future. They doubt who they are. Spekot. Living with doubt is very painful. Living with clarity is a life of simcha. So there were people in Yerushalayim, they had a name for them. We would say, oh, it's a good person, or that's a successful person. In Yerushalayim, they call them Nekiye Hadad. People who have clean minds, clarity. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin says that these Nekiye Hadad, they didn't just get that title at birth. They were people who earned that title. Meaning, to have clarity in life and to have a clean mind that brings clarity and happiness and simha of the soul without all the confusion and all the darkness that exists in the world, that's a very big beracha. The biggest beracha probably you can give somebody. How do I know that? Because the first request in the Amidah, the first thing we ask Hashem in the Amidah, Ata honeh le'adam da'at. Money, which is probably everyone's number one request, in the Amidah is number six. No. Before you get to money, you have five other things that you have to ask for. Most people, they skip the six. Ata honeh le'adam da'at, the greatest gift, the greatest achievement in a person is to have not only da'at, to be naki da'at, to have a mind that is pure, a mind that is clear. It's beautiful. That's the beracha. How do you get that beracha? What do you have to do to become a naki da'at? You don't have to wish. You have to learn. How does a person become naki da'at? Every single person here, every single person listening, has the ability to be naki da'at. It's not something you have to go buy. It's not something you need a lot of money for. Every person can become such a person. Man, a woman, a young person, an older person, a person who has an easier life, a person with a harder life. Everybody can get such a title. You walk out of this class today, you could say, I want to become a Neki Da'at. I'm tired of anxiety. I'm tired of worry. I'm tired of confusion. I'm tired of all different things that a person deals with in life. I want to be Neki Da'at. What a beauty. Says the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, if you want to be an Akidat, listen to what these people did. Gemara says, Lo hayu nichnasim beseuda, they would not enter a meal. They would not go to lunch or dinner or breakfast. Ella imken yodim, unless they knew mi mesev imahem. Before they sat on a table, they would make sure to know who else is on the table. What an item. That's how you become Naki Dan. That before you sit with someone, you first know who he is. That's a very powerful statement. Naki Dan. Simple. You don't have to be a Gadol Vatorah to be Naki Dan. You have to know who you sit with before you sit with them. You ask yourself, this guy I'm about to sit with, is he someone who is going to be giving off signals of happiness? Is he a happy guy? Okay, he's a happy guy, I'll sit with him. Is he a kind person? Is he a person who radiates goodness and holiness? All those things make the guy a great person to sit with, not to learn with. You're eating with the guy. We're not talking about choosing a havruta. We're not talking about who's teaching you in life. Choose your teacher. That's not nekidat. Who you're sitting and socializing with. That's what makes an akidah. You could sit all day long in the Bet Midrash and you could do all kinds of beautiful things. But when you come to socialize, that's what's going to decide your clarity. That's what's going to decide your purity of mind. What do you think, Phil? It's unbelievable. I would have thought an akidah is a guy who's sitting and learning all day. Very good. That's what it says here. In fact, the Midrash says, Midrash Echa, on the Pasuk, Bene Tzion Haikarim. The Megillat Echa describes that there were people in Tzion, in the land of Israel, that were Yakar. Yakar means precious. Bene Tzion Haikarim. There were people in the land of Israel that were yakar, precious. You ever use the word precious? They say, ah, this guy is precious. She's a precious young lady. The word precious is used a lot. But the Midrash doesn't like the word precious unless it gives a meaning, because we use the word precious. We don't even know what we're saying. We don't know what we're saying. They don't know what we're saying. But everyone feels good. So, oh, you're so precious. Okay, great. They're so happy with the compliment, but they don't even care what it means. But the way of the Hachamim is that they don't just take a word and get excited about it. Is that they try to understand what makes a person precious. Precious in what? Meaning, when Megillat Echa calls people precious. That's what it means. And it doesn't tell us precious in what. So what are you saying? So it must be, whatever the answer is, must be that's the most precious you could be in life. Follow? If I say the word precious, which could have many meanings. You're precious that you have wealth. You're precious that you have a big family. You're precious that you have, I don't know, whatever. And many things you could say, this person is precious. So when you write that word precious and you don't put next to it in what, it must be you're describing
Curry lifespan.
The highest precious. So you don't have to explain it. It's the precious of all precious. So the Midrash wants to know, what is that? What does it mean? Bnei Tzion haikarim. They are precious in what? What makes you the most precious? Says the Midrash, Ma haita yakrutan. In what way were they precious? They're not trying to ask just a, they're inquisitive. By the way, what were they precious in? That's not the question. They're asking a much stronger question. They're asking, what is the highest of all precious? Says the Midrash, Shelo haya ehad mehem holech le'seuda. That not one of them would go sit in a meal ad shehaya yodea imi hu so'ed, until he finds out who else is eating with him. That makes you the most precious person in this world. That, to me, is a very big hiddush. I would never in my imagination think that this is the measurement of what makes a person precious. If you ask me, I would say, I know, Mem Yud. If you would have told me, he is a precious person, I might think he's a very kind person. He gives a lot of charity, helps a lot of people. Maybe he's precious because he has a lot of wisdom. He knows a lot of Torah. I mean, how many things, if I asked you what precious could mean, how many things would you say? What number would be that a guy doesn't sit with people unless he knows who they are? I don't even know if it would have made your list if I gave you 200 options. But that's what we come to learn. Because we come to learn and we realize there are things that we just don't know. We think we understand, and then all of a sudden comes this pasuk and this midrash and opens your eyes and shocks you. And you cannot believe what you're listening to. Even as I'm talking to you, I'm sure it's going through your mind like, come on, it's really like, okay, stop it already. Like, what are you really saying? Does it really matter that much? It's hard to believe that even as you're listening, you're automatically figuring out a way to discount it. Because it can't be. It just can't be. It's some like nice poetry they're writing here. But be careful, don't do that. When you learn the words of wise people, don't discount it. When you see it doesn't fit with your understanding, it's a mistake. What a tremendous hidush. It's overwhelming, this hidush. That to be a precious person, number one, is that you don't sit with someone until you know who they are. By the way, just an interesting thing. It doesn't say that they don't sit with bad people. That wouldn't make them precious yet. Even if they don't know the guy, on a doubt that he might not be the guy, they don't sit with him. Until they check into it. Doesn't say here that they didn't sit with Rashaim on the table. They didn't sit with people. No, doesn't say that. They don't know the guy. Could be he's the greatest person. They're not sitting with him until they do their work. Today people get married without doing their work. They get married without checking who the guy is. I once asked a father of a girl about to get engaged. I said, tell me about the guy. He said, I just met him. I said, you know his parents? I don't know. I know the grandpa of one of them. What? Literally, people get married or on their way to get married and they still don't know who they are. Here, these people on a doubt, we don't know who this person is. Not, God forbid, they have a bad eye. They want to protect themselves. All people are beautiful. That's not the point here. Doesn't mean you should walk around and make everyone a rasha. But when it comes to you, You got to protect yourself. And you have to know that the person you're sitting with is making an impression on you and is making a difference in your life. If you're feeling not so good up here in the mind, you should know it's because of people you sat with on the table. Simple. If you're living with all kinds of ideas that may be hurting you, if you're living with all kinds of frustration, if you're living with all kinds of anxiety and worry, it's because of people that you sat with on your table. It's an unbelievable thing. That's what it says here. Nekiye hada'at. Be a person of cleanliness. Clean your mind. You become yakar. You become precious. Obviously, sometimes in life, it's unavoidable. You could be married to a person like that. So you're in trouble. It could be your brother and sister, or it could be your parents, or it could be... So that's... Speak to your local rabbi about the local Orthodox rabbi. About those situations. That's not the purpose of this limud. But the purpose is to understand what is the ultimate. This is the way to be. At least when you do have a choice, make the right choice. You see a person who is a complainer, don't sit with him. Don't sit with complainers. It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. You see a person who likes to talk about people negatively, don't sit with him. You don't have to disrespect him, but you don't have to eat with him. Eating with somebody is an extra. You don't have to go choose to sit with a guy. If you're stuck with somebody, you're stuck with somebody. It doesn't say, by the way, that they never were around people that were not so perfect. That's life. Life, sometimes, you're around people that you have no choice. You could be in shul and you're next to somebody. You could be in work and you're with people. But they're saying, when it comes to you choosing, you don't choose to be around them. When it comes to you don't have to sit with somebody. That's not a thing you get stuck with. That's a choice you make. If sometimes you're stuck, you're stuck. Hashem will help you. But to go and make a choice to sit with someone who's a complainer, who's negative, who's a litz, or whoever, any kind of negative effects, it could be he needs help, that person, and someone needs to help him. But you have to be careful. Because sitting with them by choice is a choice to be like them. Sitting with them by choice is a choice to be like them. If you had no choice, you're in situations, okay. I guess you get protection from that. Specifically, in situation that you choose. It says they wouldn't sit with someone until they knew who they were sitting with. Which means that even if they're sitting with someone they had to sit with, and they have no choice to sit with, but they at least know who they're sitting with. So if they need protection and understand what's going on, they'll be able to protect themselves. That is gorgeous. I did not understand that point, and I appreciate it, because I think what you're saying is emet. Choosing the people to sit with, that's your choice. You choose the best. But he's saying, sometimes you have no choice.
Yep.
But at least don't sit until you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a less. Okay, so figure out how to protect yourself and protect your children. If you're sitting on a table with a less, you and your children could be tremendously damaged by such a person who's a scoffer, who likes to belittle. So if you have to be on the table, know at least you're with that guy. And know what you need to do to protect yourself and your children. Such a what a beautiful emet what you're saying. Dave's saying beautiful. Dave's bringing a beautiful proof from the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu sent 12 Meraglim. Kalev saw who he was around, understood the possible damage, he understood where their mind was headed. You see, even Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about where they were going to go with this mission. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he understands the danger, so he protects Yehoshua. Kalev understands the people he's with and doesn't want to be part of any damage that they are a part or that they cause. So he goes to pray in Me'arat HaMachpelah. That means he knew there was something dangerous, so he did something about it. What does praying in Me'arat HaMachpelah going to help you with bad people? Answer is, if you know that you at least made the effort to know who you're with, and you made whatever effort you can make, Hashem will help you. But at least make the effort. Know your situation, which helps us understand the questions that someone was asking before. What if I'm married to somebody? What if it's in my family? What if it's on my table? So I asked, I said, contact your rabbi. But now we have a rabbi. We have a midrash that's saying, at least be aware of who you're sitting with. And then, if you could change something, change something. If you could turn the conversation to something else, do that. If you all you could do is pray about the table you're going to sit with tonight, that's also good. Hashem will help you. But you have to know who you're sitting with. And you have to prepare yourself. If you could choose, great. You choose only the best.
It's really such a powerful thing.
As an example, we find a famous story in Masechet Sotah. The Gemara over there talks about the burial of Yaakov Avinu. Gemara says that when Yaakov Avinu passed away in Egypt, his children took him to be buried in Me'arat HaMachpelah, as he asked of his son Yosef. It says when they got to Me'arat HaMachpelah, all the way from Egypt, it says over there, Esav came and was holding up the burial. Imagine Yaakov Avinu sitting in the coffin. And Esav says, you're not coming. My spot. Coming to take my spot? It's not happening. They answered him that Yaakov already bought. He already acquired it from you. He says, no. I don't know anything about it. He says, give me a proof. Show me the contract. Show me the document where I gave over my burial plot in this awesome cave. They're talking back and forth with him. They told him, listen, the document is in Egypt. We're here in Israel, in Canaan at the time. So they decided to send Naphtali, one of the brothers, was a
quick,
very quick runner. So he went to bring the shtar. He went to bring the document so they could tell Isaac, listen, here's proof. I mean, they know it's this document. He's being Isaac. Gemara over there says that Hushim, the son of Dan, he was over there. And the Gemara says he had a hearing problem. Gemara points that out. By the way, he didn't hear well. He didn't hear. So the Gemara says, Amar Lehu, he said to them, my high. Say, my guy, what's the commotion here? What is going on? He's hazi waiting in the back for the burial. He doesn't understand. He doesn't hear. So he comes. When he sees that the casket is sitting on the side, and they're going for lunch. He says, "Guy, what's going on here? What happened? We're here for funerals. You gotta bury him. Why is he waiting outside? Why are we taking a break?" Man, just imagine you're going to bury somebody. And all of a sudden everyone stops, they leave the box and they go in doing their own thing. One guy opens a sefer, one guy goes to have a sandwich. But so Hoshin says, what is going on here? Amrulo, they said to him, what should we do? We have Isav. He's holding up the process until Naphtali goes to Egypt, brings back the proof to show him that indeed this is Yaakov's plot. Gemara says, Amar Lehu, Hoshim says to the family, this is the son of Dan. He's talking now to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. He says to them, Ve'ad de'atan Naphtali. And until Naphtali comes back from Egypt, he has to go to Egypt and come back from Egypt. Okay, how fast he is, it'll take a little time. Me'ara'ad de'mitzrayim, yehe avi abba, mutal be'bizayon. You're leaving Grandpa Yaakov here like this, in a disgraceful manner, the box outside waiting. Gemara says, Shakal kulfa mahye areshe. He took a stick, whatever he took in his hand, and he whacked Esav on his head, and he killed him. And they buried Yaakov again. That is the story. So the Aharonim ask a question. It's a very nice story that Hoshim stepped up to protect the honor of his grandfather, waiting for days, who knows how many days, or maybe a week or so, maybe more. Unheard of that a Yaakov Avinu should wait like that. It's a bizayon. So they ask, Hoshim, the grandson of Yaakov, the son of Dan, only he understood that this is not proper. What happened to Reuven and Shimon? What happened to Levi and Yehuda? Levi? What happened to Shimon? These guys, they wiped out Shechel, these guys. Why is the son of Dan the only one that stepped up? So they answer that. The answer is hinted in the Gemara. Why did the Gemara say that he couldn't hear? Who cares if he could hear or not? So they want to say that being that Esav was talking to them, when you're negotiating with Esav, you lose your Kedusha. When you're listening to Esav's words during the negotiation, even if you're going against them, but it's causing something lacking, some sensitivities become lacking in your mind. But the only one who didn't get affected by the conversation is the one who was deaf. He couldn't hear. And because he wasn't affected, he was still naki da'at. He still had clarity that you don't let Yaakov Avinu sit in a box like this. When this man is clearly lying, we know he's lying. He knows he's lying. We're not going to go now and wait to go and prove a liar that he's a liar. Because probably even after we prove it, he'll come up with something else. He'll say, oh, who said the signatures are real? What could they think of that?
Boy.
He was the only one who didn't hear Esav talking. So he was naki da'ad. His mind stayed clear and made the right choice. That's the story of Hoshim, the son of Dan. When you're around Esav, you don't necessarily become Esav, but you're going to get hurt. And the Naki Da'at doesn't want to get hurt. The Naki Da'at wants to stay clean, pure, and mind that is full of simcha. Doesn't want to be affected by anyone else. Don't let people into your mind. You let people into your mind, you're letting into your mind things that you're going to maybe pay for afterwards. Without realizing where things come from. People one day wake up and they have all kinds of frustrations, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts. They don't know where it comes from. They know they have it, but where did it come from? Now we learn today where it comes from. The same we find, famous story of the sota, that a person who sees a sota in the Beit HaMikdash, he sees this woman that didn't act so modestly, and she's in the Beit HaMikdash, they're doing to her whatever they're doing, she's going to drink from the water to see how bad she was. Gemara says, you're there that day, you came to bring a korban. You saw that lady there? Make sure you take something extra upon yourself. Become a nazir. You just witnessed somebody who did something terrible? You need some extra protection. You're not a regular guy anymore. Of course, the famous question that's asked, if someone saw a sota getting embarrassed in the Beit HaMikdash because of something wrong that she did, they need hezuk. Isn't the greatest hezuk to see the outcome of sin? The embarrassment of her actions, is that not the greatest musar? I would think that guy doesn't need any protection because he sees the consequence of what she did. But yet the Torah says no. It's true you saw the consequence, but you even saw something more powerful. You saw something terrible. You saw something that isn't good to look at. And even if you looked at it and said, oh, I can't believe this lady, what she did, disgusting, that's horrible. How could they do that? So how many times in life have you had situations like that? You say, oh, I can't believe it. So terrible. How could they do that? How could they say that? How could they act like that? How could they wear that? Oh, you saw that? Oh, you saw that? Oh, you saw that? By the way, you are infected. Doesn't matter what your opinion is on what you saw. And therefore, you have to know what happened to you now. And you got to figure out how to upgrade yourself to protect yourself from what you saw. So many examples we have in the words of Chachamim about this subject, of how a person is affected negatively. Some say, listen to this Gemara, Masechet Nedarim, Daf Zayin Amud Bet. Gemara says, Ashomea Haskarat Hashem Mipi Havero. If someone says God's name in vain, you hear someone say God's name in vain. It's very disrespectful. Gemara says, Sarich Lenadoto. You have to excommunicate him. Nidui. That's for a different day to understand that we give the power to the person himself to make the guy in Nidui. But that's not today's subject. It says, Ve'im lo nideo. Let's say for some reason he didn't do it. He didn't excommunicate the guy. He didn't put the guy in Nidui. Heren. That means he's out. He's out of the community. Can't be counted for a minyan. He's out. Nidui. If he didn't do that, says the Gemara, who atzmo yeh ben nidui? Then he has to go into excommunication. And the question is why? If you didn't excommunicate the guy who said that terrible disrespect to God, if you didn't do that to him, okay, that's not good, but what do you have to do to yourself? And they explained the same reason. Because you... You were around that. You were around someone who disrespected God openly. And you got hurt from that. And you need to do something. You need to do something. To figure out how to protect yourself and how to do something to shake yourself up from such a terrible experience. Some say that's why Torah says, Hocheyach tochiyach et amitecha. Some say that's why you have to rebuke people when they do something wrong. The simple reason why you have to rebuke them is because they did something wrong. Try to help them. Try to help them so they don't do it again. Educate them. Stop them, if you can. Which is true, of course. But some say there's another added feature to giving someone rebuke. When you see someone doing something wrong, someone, lo alenu, is mehalel Shabbat, someone is eating not kosher, someone is doing something that's clearly against what he should be doing and what you should be doing. So the rebuke is not just for him. The rebuke is to protect yourself. When you rebuke him, you're protecting yourself from falling into the same hole as him. I mean, if you just watch people doing the wrong things and you don't say anything, you don't react. So then you're getting hurt and you're not putting something to protect yourself. When you rebuke them, it's strengthening you by not falling in the same place that they're in. Some say this is the reason, or one of the reasons, why it's so important to be dan lechav zechut, judging people favorably. Meaning you saw a guy walking into McDonald's. You don't know why he went. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he went to get a can of soda. Maybe he went to eat not kosher. You don't know. Halacha says, Torah says, judge him favorably. Don't assume he went to eat a cheeseburger. Don't assume that. Even though that looks pretty, you know. I mean, there's a store next door. He could have gotten a soda there. He lives two blocks away. Could have went to the bathroom. Okay. Looks pretty fishy. But we're not allowed to assume he went to eat not kosher. Not allowed to assume that. So simply, it's good midot, good character, be fair. Why do you have to rush to assume he's doing the worst thing? It's not. You have to be a fair judge. You have no proof. That's the simple reason why you shouldn't judge people negatively. But Rav Diskin says, such a beautiful nekuda, an additional nekuda. He says, when you judge people favorably, you're saving yourself. Because if you're thinking he ate a cheeseburger, so you just witnessed a guy who ate a cheeseburger. That means you just hurt yourself by being around such a person.
Nice.
So judge him favorably, so this way you don't get hurt. What a powerful idea. When you don't judge people negatively, you also don't get the negative. So judge them favorably and you're doing good. You're protected. This is basically the siyum of our subject of how the Eshet Haye is like a ship that knows all the dangers of the salty waters and all the different things that happen in the ocean and is always protecting itself from the dangers that slowly, slowly eat at the core of the ship. And Eshet Hayil understands, while we have to look at all people as good, we have to see the goodness in everybody, but when it comes to yourself, you have to know how to protect yourself and you have to know the dangers. And before you sit with someone, you have to know who you're sitting with. As long as you keep that, you become yakar. You become Yakar, your family becomes Yakar. To become a precious person is to become a Naki Da'at, to be a person of clarity, a person of focus, a person of Simcha. Aruch HaLeolam, Amen Be'Amen.